Let's just bow our heads in prayer.
The gracious Father, we truly want to thank you, Lord, for being with us. Not only being with us tonight, Lord, but through the day, through the week, through our sleep, Father, and through our time of rest and through our time of work. Father, we truly believe that you're here and that you came down, Lord, to manifest yourself to us in a great display of power and wisdom. For you came as a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of yourself. Father, help us, Lord, not to fail to hear the shout, to partake of it, to enter into it, Lord. For knowing that he that would partake of the shout will also partake of the voice. You said before, or you said through your prophet before he went off the scene, that there was many voices in the land, and if he gave an uncertain sound, who would know how to prepare himself? So, Father, we pray that this trumpet would blow straight and clear tonight. We pray, Father, that your voice would echo through us, Lord, as we would reflect back the thoughts that your prophet brought out in this, who is this Melchizedek? And we would ask, Father, that you would keep us true and straight as an arrow to that final target, which is the resting place in Christ. Help us, Lord, to enter into the rest, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We also have a request here. It says, remember Frieda Meyer, known as Mother in prayer. Her blood pressure is very low and is very weak. Thinks that she had a mini stroke, not eating also and drinking very little. We certainly want to keep her in prayer. She's at, 94, I think, something like that. 98. Oh, 98. That's 12 years older than Brother Vale. That's getting up there. And also, if you'd continue to pray for me, I'm actually doing much, much better since I got off the medication. And sometimes I wonder if these doctors just don't put you on something to keep you coming back for visits and stuff like that. And they just get the old Congaplex like the cashew, and do the things that he used to recommend. And I seem to be doing much better. The strength has come back and been able to work quite a bit around the home and things like that, and so I feel much better. It's just now I just got a little bit of cough every once in a while, which I used to have, but eventually that'll be gone as well, so I praise the Lord for it. Now this evening I'd like to move a little further into our study of Brother Graham's sermon of Who is This Melchizedek? And to do so, I will take the next thought in Brother Graham's opening prayer. So, as we begin, he says, let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we hear this song of only believe, and it makes us to know that that's all that we have to do to inherit any of God's promises, just believe them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. And as we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. We thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last days. It makes our heart most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical material evidence, as he did in the days gone by, and as he has promised for this day. We're so grateful to thee, our God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. May we nurture them in our heart, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we closed last Sunday, I mentioned that in this opening prayer, Brother Branham, he actually lays out the five great major doctrines that he brought to us, and I'd like to take those in order as we read again. He says, let us bow our heads in prayer. He says, Dear Heavenly Father, we hear the song of only believe, and makes us know that all things All we have to do to inherit God's promises is just believe for them. For it is written, all things are possible to them that believe. As we cry as the man who had the epileptic child, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in this last day. So that great revelation of thyself is the Godhead. For certainly the Godhead is the greatest of all revelations. See? Now, so it says, we thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in these last days. It makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God. Who?
Also,
we have contact with the living God. Well, he's got to be here in order to have contact with the living God. So, Brother Van lets us know in this opening prayer, he's speaking of God, the revelation of God, the presence. And as we realize, we thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in the last days. It makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact with the living God who vindicates it right back in physical material evidences. So we talk about vindication. And remember, Brother Branham, if you notice, Brother Bannon uses the presence as that which vindicates. Let me read that again. We thank thee for thy great power, thy great revelation of thyself to us in these last days. It makes our heart most happy and joyful to know that we have come in contact, that's presence, with the living God, who vindicates it right back in physical material evidence as he did. Now notice, as he did in days gone by and as he has promised for this day. As he did then, so does he today. That's Alpha and Omega. We're so grateful to thee, our God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go. Well, that's one group of people. Way to go. We're so grateful to thee, our God, this day, this dark day, when no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we have found the safety zone, the retreat. So, safety zone. Don't know which way. Now bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us, that we may, now notice, he's no longer talking about these that don't know which way to go, but he's addressing these that are in the safety net. He says, we're so grateful to thee, God, this dark day where no one seems to know which way to go, we're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Notice, safety, retreat. What's that? Rest. What is it? Relaxation under the seventh seal. See? Now, let's find that over in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Excuse me. And we'll read. Repent you therefore, that means change your thinking, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Notice refreshing. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So, notice then, when the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Now, Scofield says that so many, that so may come times of refreshing from the face of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ. So, we know then that we've got a time of refreshing, a time of relaxation that takes place. Now, notice Brother Van then goes on, now, bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. Now,
so let's just take this, and what we're going to get into is what we are to do with those promises. What's our part in it of those promises?
He says, bless us now tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. So we have the promises.
Given to us. Now, if they've been given to us, what does that tell you about them?
There's a scripture that says, those things which are revealed are given to us. Okay, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 29. The secret things, in verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
So, Deuteronomy 29. Belong to us are those things revealed. So,
when Brother Branham says, bless us now tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us, then if the promises have been given to us, they've been revealed. So he's talking about things that have been revealed. Okay? Then he says, may we.
So now our part is, God's part is this. Revealed promises given. Now our part. This is the active. Actually, this is, it's passive, but it's okay. Now, active. Faith. Now,
Brother Bram says, may we nurture them in our heart. Cherish them with reverence. And obey them with godly discipline. Nurture, cherish, revere, obey godly discipline. For we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. And like the man who said, help thou my unbelief. Now, he says, we thank thee for thy great power and thy great revelation of thyself to us in these last days. Then he speaks of the very presence of God in our midst. And he says, it makes our hearts most happy and joyful to know that we've come in contact with the living God. Now this speaks of God's presence, for we must be, he must be present to contact with us.
To know that we have come in contact with the living God who vindicates it right back in physical, material evidences as he did in the days gone by and as he has promised for this day. Now again, we'll hear Brother Branham speak of the presence in direct correlation or association with vindication. He speaks of God's contact with us by presence, and then that presence being in a vindication that swings it right back into physical and material evidences. Then he gives us a little alpha and omega principle when he says, as he did in days gone by, as he has promised for this day. Now notice how Brother Branham weaves into this opening prayer of the Godhead, the presence, vindication, and alpha and omega. There's one thing left out, and that is twins, and yet his next statement speaks of a people who know in contrast to those who have no clue. He says, we're so grateful to thee, our God, this day, this dark day, where no one seems to know which way to go. We're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat. Now, bless us tonight, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's given to us. May we nurture them in our heart, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this evening, I would like to look at these 5 points of gratitude that we should have concerning the promises of God for us in this hour. Now, he says, we're so grateful to thee, our God, that we're so glad that we found the safety zone, the retreat, and we ask that you bless us, Lord, as we speak of thy word and the promises that's been given to us. The promises, notice, that's been given to us, may we nurture them in our heart, number one. Number two, cherish them with, number three, reverence. Number four, obey them with real godly discipline, number five. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And as we examine these 5 points, I want you to notice that these 5 things mentioned here all speak of a what? What does it sound like? Nurture, cherish, revere, obey, godly discipline. Nurture. What do you think of when you think of nurture? Huh? Huh? What? Food? Well, what are you going to do with the food? I mean, is nurture food? I mean, you're on the right track, but I just want to draw it out a little bit. I can't hear you. To help along? Okay. In other words, to grow? Okay. Now, that's good, because to nurture, if you want to look at it from the terms of food, to nurture your child, you feed them. Why do you feed them? In order to help them to grow, help them along. See, in other words, you're kind of watching over, guiding, protecting, but you're actually doing something which causes, which is not self-directed, but it's other-directed. So nurture, then, is not self-directed, but it is other-directed. Let this mind be in you. I think it's what? Philippians something? Philippians 3 something? 2 something? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made of himself no reputation. See? He took upon himself the form of flesh. Therefore, we want to examine these thoughts. And as we examine these 5 points, I want you to notice that these 5 things mentioned here all speak of a relationship and the expected behavior that a husband and wife have for each other. Brother Graham said, we should do these things for this great revealed promise. He said we should nurture, cherish, reverence, and obey with godly discipline. Therefore, let's examine each of these words and see how they speak of a relationship of a wife to her groom. The word nurture. This word nurture, according to Webster, means to nourish. So, there's your food. And it speaks of feeding. There's your helping. It also speaks of creating an environment as distinguished from an innate nature. In other words, doing something outside in contrast to what's already there inside. In other words, creating something, an environment that helps to build up and to nourish, not tearing down and destroying. Then it looks at the actions of the one in a selfless act of giving and creating and performing for the benefit of the union.
So, it's a selfless act. Giving. Creating. Performing. For other, not self.
Ephesians 5:28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord cherishes the church and nourishes the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband."
Now, notice, in this scripture we have nourish, cherish, reverence. And what is it speaking of?
A relationship of a husband to wife. The word cherish. What does the word cherish mean? Huh? To hold dearly? Good. Something you love? Okay. High esteemed value? Okay. In 1 Thessalonians, if you turn in your Bibles with me, chapter 2, verse 7. "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." There's all your definitions coming out. "For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, this word cherish then has to deal with holding dear, and the word, if you follow through with what Paul is saying, he says, even as a new child.
Thoughts
of the first, and they did unto them likewise. Last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said unto themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? For they said unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the took him for a prophet. Let's turn to Luke chapter 20, verse 9. Then began he to speak to them to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard, but the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Reverence. Respect. They didn't have any. But Brother Graham, in his words, he said, and the promises that's been given to us, may we nurture them, cherish them with reverence. The promises that's been given to us, may we have respect to those promises. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Well, Brother Branham, in telling the story of Rebecca and Isaac. Rebecca and Isaac. He talks of how Eliezer went to find a bride for Isaac, the promised son. He went to his own people, and he prayed that the woman who he was seeking after for a bride for Isaac would fetch water for him. But when he came to the land, to where she was supposed to be, she spotted him. She not only fetched water for him, she fetched it for his camel. But as I noticed, she watered the same power that packed her home to be with her mate, Isaac. And he said, as a Christian, waters the same Holy Spirit that will take you out of this world and into the arms of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 33, we read, nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and they gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Reverence. Now we're dealing with relationship. All of these speak of relationship. Nurturing, cherishing. Wives, reverence your husband. Respect your husband. We find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice has shook the earth, but now we have promise, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that can be shaken, as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence. With what? Respect. And godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now we're talking about these in relationship to what Brother Branham had stated here when he said, and the promises that's been given to us, may we nurture them in our heart. May we cherish them with reverence and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How can a man express himself? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How did the Lord reveal himself? He came down with a shout, a revelation of himself. And we should nurture, cherish, and respect. Reverence those things. Now, the next one we come to is obey. Obey. We turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 31. He said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. The aged women, likewise, let ye be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Colossians, chapter 3, verse 20. This is for you children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Also Ephesians, chapter 6, in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now,
notice that obey is not speaking of like a horse, but speaking of surrendering your will to their will. Again, focus is where? Other. With godly discipline. That's the one for you.
Using godly discipline, self-control, to show respect, to obey, to cherish, to nurture what? The promise of God that's been given for you. In Moses' day, when we apply the token, notice all of these reflect in that little scene that Brother Branham laid out for us. He said they could hear the angel of death going throughout the town, the camp. And the little child looked up and said, Father, are you sure you obeyed? Are you sure you obeyed the voice, the command, the promise to put the blood on the home? And he said, yes, my son. Notice the respect in that statement. And notice the thoughts of nurture,
cherish and reverence.
Now, we cannot address the atmosphere in our homes without addressing the atmosphere in our marriage. And there are three principles that will make any marriage better. In fact, if you're diligent to follow these principles, your marriage will be blessed. And I think what we'll do is we'll get into those tomorrow. Because I believe what we're looking at here is a spiritual union that Brother Aaron's talking about. And the promises that's been given to us, may we nurture them in our heart, cherish them with reverence, and obey them with real godly discipline, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice how they create an atmosphere of hope, of expectation. Creating an atmosphere by nurturing, cherishing, reverence, and then obeying them with godly discipline, with godly self-control. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for helping us as we glean through this message of your prophet. I pray, Father, there's a real need for us to have the mind which doesn't think of self, but thinks of others. For you said, let this mind, let this attitude which was in Christ be in you. And I believe, Father, that as your prophet tried to have an atmosphere around him all the time, it didn't come because he willed it. It didn't come because he forced a square peg into a round hole. But he nourished that atmosphere. He cherished that atmosphere. He revered and respected the power of that atmosphere. And in his own life, he obeyed your word, which allowed him, through godly discipline, to hold that atmosphere, to walk in it. He said, if we walk in light, that means to live in it, as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. It creates an atmosphere that draws us together. And the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. And as your prophet said, the bleach blood, to where God looks down upon us and he doesn't even see. There's no remembrance. It's brought back to its origin and placed on Satan. And Father, we just ask and commit these things to thee, knowing when the second resurrection takes place, all that did not partake of the first resurrection, all that did not partake of the first resurrection will not receive a glorified body. But your scripture says that they will be judged for the work which they did in this body. And so they will take the bodies that they lived in, that they sinned in, and they'll be judged in those bodies. But as we stand at that white throne, it's a glorified body. Our soul never did it. It's been justified. It never did do it. It was this flesh that did it. But this flesh will not be the one standing there. But a glorified body,
A body hast thou chosen, hast thou given. And we'll be sitting with him in the throne. And when Satan the accuser comes forth and points a finger, it won't be the same one that he's pointing to. Because the body will be in then. It will be the body that you had in your thoughts for us before the foundations of the world. One which cannot know sin, therefore cannot do sin. Father, we realize, Lord, that all that you've justified, you have, past tense already, glorified. Oh, hallelujah. And so we thank you, Lord, because when we truly look at justification as brought forth by your prophet, we never did do it. It'll all be pinned back on the author. The author who in the garden inhabited a serpent and brought forth the bodies of this death. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. And we pray, Lord, that we might nourish this wonderful revelation. That we might cherish it, Lord, dear. May we hold it dear to our heart. May we reverence it. May we hold and have great respect. And then may we obey, simply surrendering ourselves to your will. For we ask it humbly, with the same way that your Son gave up his own thoughts and received your thoughts. May we also, Father, have this mind which was in Christ be in us. May this attitude which was in Christ be in us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, thy beloved Son. Amen.
When you ponder about, sometimes, you know, you have good days, sometimes you have bad days, and sometimes you seem to feel real victorious, like you could fight the devil face to face. Other days you feel like you've been had. Brother Bam said, you know, you backslide 1,000 times daily. Paul said, as long as we're in the body of this death, excuse me, there's a warfare. But never lose the thoughts that you've been justified. You never did do it. And on the other side, you won't have to answer, because this body won't be there. But the glorified body, that body which was correctly in the thoughts of God, will be there, a different you altogether. Because your soul has been quickened. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. But woe to him who has not been justified. For he'll carry this body over to the other side. And you'll have to give an account of the deeds done in this flesh. I thank God every day that he justified me, and that I never did do it. Whatever it would be, I never did do it. Amen. Could have the deacons bring forth the elements. And
If you open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall not eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. There you go. Our judgment is now. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. With the world. We will not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And if you turn with me to John chapter 13, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper, and laid aside his garment, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he saith, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it?
And Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop. And when I have dipped it, And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received his sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Notice, God is glorified in him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So I'll stand to our feet, and as the brethren would return thanks for these elements that the Lord has so graciously given us an understanding and revelation of their importance in this hour. If you would.
Thank you.